Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And all together we said, Amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. I want to encourage you, we're getting into that time of the year where a lot of camps are going on. If you're going to Encounter, you can register online at lcu.edu, and you look that up and you'll find an Encounter there taking place. And that's just coming up here in June, and I'm just saying that by way of reminder to some of you that want to get your kiddos in and plan to go to Lubbock for the great experience that they will have at Encounter. It's a marvelous time for young people to be together just in that fashion. Well, last week we had a great time together with our mothers, and we spoke some things about godly mothers. Today we're coming back to our renewal thought that I've been mentioning to you the last couple of lessons. And today, we're going to talk about focus. I want to see just how many of you really are in focus. My wife, Rosemary, you're out of focus. I don't know how many of you remember these. You know, the modern cameras automatically focus. That's good for a guy like me, because I'm not real camera smart anyway. These old ones, this thing's got more numbers on it than, you know, Carter's got pills. I know only a few of you know about Carter's and their pills, but nonetheless, you had to match that all up with the speed of the film and la, la, la. You all got that. You know that. You've been there. Focus. Renewal. The kind of thing that keeps us traveling on toward our goal, which is to be together in heaven, amen, to be together in heaven with our God. That's really what we want to do. But we're going to shift to this concept or idea of focusing in terms of renewal. Now, there are probably lots of other passages that would fit this description, but I love this passage because it is a marvelous example of not only faith, that was our first point, above all, it's all about faith, isn't it? And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing is of the Word of God. So here it is in the Scripture, in the third chapter of the book of Daniel, we have, I think, a great example of faithful followers of God focusing on what's most important, what's really most important. There's a great story here. In verse 12 of chapter 3, and this is only really getting part of it, we don't have time to include all of the things that are here. This is a great chapter to go read. But there are certain Jews who you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, O king, they have disregarded you. They've dissed you. They've disrespected you. They do not serve your gods, nor do they worship the golden statue which you have set up. Well, then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and anger, he gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar began speaking, and he said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden statue that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of musical instruments, to fall down and worship the statue that I've made, very well. Everything will be okay. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be thrown into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can rescue you from my hands? Well, Nebuchadnezzar is pretty confident, isn't he? He's pretty confident that his threat is going to help or make Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to see the importance of following the king's edict. Now we have, we've already set some of these passages into motion. In the book of Romans, we noticed, I remind you of it. Therefore I urge you, says the Apostle Paul, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect according to God. This is a passage that tells us how important it is to be renewed, to be transformed from our old way of thinking and into the new way of thinking that comes because we are Christians. And then we're told in Psalm 51 by the writer over there, and we even sing a song together here that goes with this, created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit, and I will teach wrongdoers your ways, and sinners will be converted to you, because of a clean, renewed, transformed heart. What comes from God? What blesses us from God? We know that faith, of course, is substance, says the book of Hebrews. The substance of things that we're able to actually touch and feel. It's evidence of what we do not see. That's this faith that is to be above all. Without faith, he goes on to say, it's impossible to please God. Faith comes by hearing, 10 and verse 17. Or James says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And as we were reading earlier from chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, we're told that it is by grace that we're saved through faith. That not of ourselves, it's a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then Paul again in chapter 5, one last verse on the faith part. Therefore, being justified by faith, what does that mean? Remember what I tell you? Just as if I have never sinned. That's what justification means. And I know that many of us struggle with that concept. Justification by faith. Just as if I've never sinned. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. It is by faith we stand in grace, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Focus. How does that tie together with our faith? Webster defines focus the number one thing it says that is to cause someone to be concentrated. That almost sounds like a drink, doesn't it? I think we understand it better when we recognize that focus is really the center of activity. In the old camera that I had out here earlier, whenever you were out of they eventually developed in a lens that inside here there's a little round deal that you look out there through, and it sort of splits the person's face or the whatever you're taking a look at. It splits it in half, and you have to just turn it enough to bring those two together so that hopefully you don't jerk and mess up and all that, and you have it focused just the right way. Push the button, and you won't get a blurred picture nor a distorted image. That's what we're talking about. Images that get distorted. And that's so easy for us to do as human beings, to get sort of out of shape. Automatic cameras are nice. Be able to see and be able to think in the concept of focusing in on the right thing, I believe to be important. But don't forget this. It's going to involve some perception. Does everybody understand perception? You know, the older you get and your eyesight doesn't get so good and you have to go to the doctor to get a prescription so that now you're no longer fuzzy, but you're clear. It not only helps to clear things up, but it's also supposed to help me with my perception of being able to see everything as it's supposed to be in regard to what I may be focusing on. Now, I don't want that to be confusing, but I'm simply saying there are a lot of things that sometimes go into our idea of focusing in on the right thing. Now, some of you may not know, but I used to do a lot of coaching out on the West Coast. And the team I coached for had a mascot named by the Eagles. Tommy, they were not doing very well in the first half of a football game. And in the locker room, I threatened them by telling them that I was going to have the mascot name changed from the Eagles to the Possums because they played dead on the road. They played dead at home and got killed on the road. That's not the focus you want as a coach. When you're talking about coaching, you're talking about winning, aren't you, Mark? Oh, yeah, there's a big game. Oh, it's the game. Come on. We'll all see how long you'll stay as the coach if you don't win. You got to stay on focus. And I hope you'll hear me right when I say this. I'm trying to help us, all of us, anybody in the world who will listen, to stay on target to go to heaven. That's the focus. The focus of giving eternally with the Father, to live eternally with other loved ones. The focus of reaching where we need to be. And I think there are several areas that involve this thing. And this morning, I'm going to try to get us through, well, I got four of them. I'm going to try to get through at least one of them. But I'm going to start with an individual. You know, there are really, as I read in the Bible, there are just really two purposes as an individual in the body of Christ. In Ephesians 5 and verse 1, Paul is going to write to the Ephesian brethren, and he will say, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved," or as little children. Like little children, be imitators of God. One of our purposes is to become like God. I didn't say you will become God. I said, become like God. to be God-like. That is, to be people who pursue after godliness, pursuing to be like Him. The new self, you see, is created to be like God. Christianity, I do not believe, is conforming to a bunch of do's and don'ts, but it is striving to be what God created us to be, and that's to be like Him in His attributes. Now, I know it's easier. That's how we train our children. Do or don't. There are things that you don't do. There are things that you do. We're not doing away with the concept of obligation or responsibility of responding to God, but we're wanting to keep our focus on what's the most important thing in doing that. That is to be like God. Do you remember Jesus and His illustration with the coin? And the people said, do we need to pay taxes? And Jesus said, give me one of your coins. Whose image is on the coin? They told Him, Caesar's. And Jesus said, you know this, right? Render to Caesar's that which is Caesar's, but render to God that which is God. You see, we are made in His image. Let us make mankind in our image. God made us in His image. He wants us to become like Him, to be like Him. When John is recording in his gospel the words of Jesus, he says, this is John 17 and 3, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. It's about Jesus. Now, for I think too many years, we've had a focus on the church, and rightly so in many instances. But the real focus, folks, is Jesus Christ, is being like Him. Sure, the church needs to do what it ought to do, but we're made up, the church is the body of Christ, of imperfect people. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need to be here. We wouldn't need Jesus, but we do, because none of us, as we have already learned in our previous studies or lessons, none of us are righteous, not any of us. If we will learn to love like God, forgive like God, guess what? Everything comes into focus. Everything becomes what it's supposed to be. But if we love like God, which is unconditionally, and forgive like God, which is completely, there is no relationship that we cannot maintain. Now, I know we struggle with each other. We have different personalities. Some want to do it this way, and some want to do it that way. That's really not our focus, is it, folks? The real focus is doing it Jesus' way. And then the Christian individual, so he becomes like God. We're told then that we are, when we become like God, we are to show forth the praises that honor and glorify God. That's why we were here today. Is that not true? We came here under the auspices of glorifying God and singing and directing our praise to God. Father in heaven, how we love You. You know this? Sing it. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises as your people declare your mighty works. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Well, maybe I could have picked one you knew better. But blessed be the Lord God Almighty. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're wanting to grow toward. All of the passages, if you go to the New Testament, particularly like the book of Ephesians that we were reading from earlier, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 4 and down at 6 and 12 and verse 14, over and over again it will say, honor and praise the Lord God. Peter says, you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, he says, a holy people, a peculiar people. Well, lots of us fit that description, huh? It means to be a people devoted to God, people like God, who are imitating God, so that we can show forth the praise of Him who called us out of darkness into marvelous light. And all of that, you see, needs to be revealed in our conduct. Let your light, you know this verse, let your light so shine before mankind, right? I'm supposed to be a shining light and example that they might see your good works and do what? Get you a new job? Have everybody pat you on the back? No, that they might glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's our purpose. And it ought to be revealed in how we conduct ourselves in life, the way we live. In our society, we were talking about this at our prayer breakfast the other day, God is no longer the Father. He's the grandfather. And you know what grandfathers do. They love. They don't discipline. And by the way, grandchildren are God's way of rewarding you for not killing your own. I don't know if you know that or not. Therefore, you see, since God doesn't discipline, it sort of leaves us with the impression that we can just conduct ourselves any way we want to and everything will be okay. Paul writes, this is 2 Corinthians 5, I think verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us. King James says constrains us. Having concluded this, that one, Jesus, died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves again, but for him who died and rose again for their behalf. That's our Heavenly Father's plan in Jesus, so that we can meet with him and be resurrected with him and live with him in the forever. Our world, I think, wants everything in the light. We want Pepsi Light, right? Crystal Light, Bluebell Light, and we want God Light, don't we? Who gets the praise for the way you live? It even spills over maybe in our assemblies sometimes. We tend to make them like an athletic contest. Let's see, we're going to grade the preacher. How'd he do today? How about the song leader? Was he too slow? Was he too fast? Was he? Could we hear him? Could we? Did we know that song? How come he keeps leading those songs we don't know? Wake up, brothers and sisters. As though it's here to please us. That's not what it's about. It's about pleasing Him. And He says, whatever we give Him, He loves. We come to assemble on the mountain and to praise the Lord. When we do that, I know that everybody wants to try to improve the assembly in whatever ways we think that's the case. But if we will just improve ourselves, the assembly will take care of itself. I just want to know if you're with me. Because it's about us. It's about who we are on the inside. Why we came. What we're thinking about. Our focus that is telling everybody what our faith is in this life. Because you see, it's faith that really counts. In fact, if it isn't done by faith, God says it's sin. Where are we in this category? It should be revealed in our conduct. Well, we read a passage of Scripture. Let's go to it. Here's good old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's what we said at our house. We put those kids to bed about 7 o'clock because we couldn't take any more of it. I'm kidding. We loved them. Am I off the camera view? I was okay? All right. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, how's your faith? Well, I want you to bow down and worship the golden image. That's what King Nebuchadnezzar had to say. And if you don't, you see this here fiery furnace I've got? I'm fixing to throw you all in it. And you tell me, you've seen the flame, you've seen the furnace, what God's going to deliver you out of that. But listen to our faithful Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not in need of an answer to give you concerning this matter. We don't really have to answer you about this, you know that? But since you're the king, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to rescue us from the furnace of the blazing fire, and He will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if He doesn't, let it be known to you, O King, that we are not going to serve your gods nor worship the golden statue that you have set up. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty brave. That's extremely focused on what the expression of your faith is. And there's a lot more we could say about that. But I want to tell you that I know that in your life, if you're like all of the rest of us, that sometimes we're all looking for this, I'll even use the term maybe miraculous, some kind of a sign, you know, that God's in approval of me, what I'm doing, and what I'm participating in. And so we find ourselves involved in trying to get God to do things to keep us protected. I want to let you know right now that courage of your conviction does not go unnoticed of God. When you're out here in the world standing up for Him, and not you. That doesn't go unnoticed by God. You know the story of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. You know all about them. You know that how Nebuchadnezzar has turned the fire up so hot that it made people disappear, vaporized. And he looked in there and saw those children of Israel wandering around in there together. And in fact, he even saw an additional person in that fire. And when they came out of that fire, they didn't smell like smoke. Well, you go to a campfire and back off 10 feet and you'll smell like a campfire. The courage of conviction does not go unnoticed by God. And God is committed to helping us through the fire as opposed to from it. Now, he didn't necessarily say, okay, you guys, you've done your job. Nebuchadnezzar, whoop, you're all gone. No, they had to go in the furnace. I don't know if they had a ladder up there or what. They had to go in the furnace. That took courage. But you see, the best lesson was going to be learned when they went in there. Because people see the power of God best when they see Him deliver us through our fires. People don't want to see a bunch of folks that are getting along great and nothing goes wrong for them. You know, nothing ever bad happens to them. That's kind of the way we view it, those that we think are doing better than we. And you need to be reminded that even if God does not deliver you through or from your present difficulty, that He will. That in the end, He will. When it comes time to go your way, and you have lived faithfully and focused with conviction, God will bring His reward to you. I love what you read in Isaiah 6. That's a whole other sermon. I won't preach it this morning. You said, amen. But when Isaiah recognizes what's going on in Isaiah 6, and he says, I am a man of unclean lips. I should not be in the presence of you, God, or in your aura, and see what he was seeing. And he was convinced, here am I, send me. And I'm saying to you, God will send you. God will help you do what you need to do if you will just let Him. I hope that we'll be focused in on what God has given to us and the importance of keeping our commitment to Him, seeing that God is glorified in my life. That's what He's looking for. He's not looking for you to check on every box that ever came along. He wants your life to glorify Him. If you're here today and we can help you do that, we invite you to come while we stand, while we sing.